Although he had been brought here wearing a blindfold, Joshua knew exactly where he was. The Riven who had hustled him out of the Warren on Dr. Jericho's orders apparently hadn't realized that it was pointless to blindfold him. Dr. Jericho, who knew better, hadn't bothered to stop them, laughing as he watched. Despite not being able to see, Joshua had tracked the brief journey from the Warren in his mind. He knew they'd traveled almost exactly 1 mile east-northeast, traveling mostly underground before climbing up into the cool nighttime streets of the city for a few blocks. A dozen Riven traveled with him, slinking through the dark, forcing him onward. Several small Ravids were among them, hissing and popping in and out as they teleported, jumping forward like water striders flicking across the surface of a pond. Joshua hadn't needed to smell the water to know that they'd brought him to the lakeshore, just beside the outer drive bridge. He hadn't needed eyes to remind him that there was a huge round pit here, the leftover of some giant skyscraper that had never been built. 3 Morden, 10 feet tall and stinking of brimstone, had brought Joshua deep into the great pit, carrying him at one point as they climbed downward. A screeching doorway, a series of damp tunnels and stone stairs, and finally they'd removed his blindfold, here in this large dark chamber lit dimly with sickly brown lights. How deep they had come, Joshua couldn't say, but despite the blindfold, he could have plotted his current location on a map to within just a few feet. Not that it mattered. Yes, he could track himself through space just as well as Horus could track himself through time. It was a talent Joshua used to be proud of, but not anymore. There was so much to worry about, so much to feel terrible about, that Joshua's brain had gone numb, unable to decide even where to start. The secret location of the Warren had accidentally been revealed by Joshua himself when one of the Riven's auditors got inside his head, inside the lathe of Teneves. The Warren had been invaded not long after and had fallen. During the attack, Mrs. Hapstead had been forced to destroy many of the Tanu there so that the precious devices wouldn't fall into the hands of the Riven. Ingrid, the former warden turned traitor, had been freed to join the Riven once more. Unbelievably, Mr. Meister himself had been captured, his leg broken. And as for Isabel, Chloe's mother, it wasn't clear yet what had happened to her when the Riven had stormed across the Maw and into the Great Burrow. Joshua could barely poke at his hopes when it came to Isabel. She'd done some good, yes, but also so much bad. Did he hope she was dead, captured, suffering, escaped? Joshua had no idea. It wasn't his place to hope. Worst of all, though it was hard to explain why it was the worst, the Riven hadn't taken the lathe of Teneves from him. For some reason, they had let Joshua keep his Tanji. He hated to think what this might mean. The lathe hovered beside him now, a perfect globe of the earth, alive with rippling water and drifting cloud and green forest. A meridian encircled it, a flat copper hoop inside which the globe floated, like Saturn inside its rings. With the lathe, Joshua could have chosen any location on the planet, and then, by tearing loose the meridian and spinning it wide open, created a portal to that location, a doorway, a gateway to anywhere on Earth, an escape. Not that he could have escaped, not likely. The Riven hadn't taken the lathe, no, but they hadn't left him alone with it either. The Morden that had brought him here were still with him. Like all Riven, they were pale-skinned and beady-eyed, like ghoulish humans. They had long, ghastly limbs that folded and unfolded like the legs of insects. The Morden were hunters, taller than regular Riven, at least twice as tall as Joshua himself. 2 of the Morden guarding him, Joshua had decided, were lazy and careless, obviously delighted that the secret sanctuary of the Wardens had been conquered, and feeling pleased with themselves. They sat on the floor, leaning against the wall, talking back and forth in low, harsh whispers. But the 3rd Morden was sharper, quieter, crouching warily and watching Joshua with a keen black stare.